Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, where you'll find unique insights on what's happening in the ever-changing world of local marketing from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by iPublish Media Solutions, the leader in self-service advertising, and by Vivo, bringing local spot buying to music television. And now, here are your hosts, Gordon and Corey.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome, Corey.
Welcome, Gordon.
Hey, I really think that we've got some cool things to talk about. We've got an interview in this podcast upcoming with a guy named Joe Lawrence in Pittsburgh, who has got what I think is kind of the secret formula they've been developing for about 3 or 4 years now on an e-commerce platform called Everybody Shops that integrates with community news. It's just, it's really, it's different, and it's different, particularly in the way it's organized. So that's coming up. But mainly, Corey, I wanted to talk about a new survey that you guys fielded in our vast expanse of research department about COVID-19's effect on social media and whether local advertisers give a rip about what the big brands were doing by withdrawing from Facebook for the past 2-3 months.
Yeah,
so why don't we do some, why don't you just give us the headlines on that and then we'll kind of react to them.
Okay, let's start by a setup. Before we get into the social media aspect, we want to know where these local advertisers, and we had over 200 answer this thing, what they were thinking the next 6 months would bring. They were, in previous surveys, being very positive, had a very positive outlook on the next 6 months, but we asked in July, 50% of them said it's going to get worse to run a small business.
Bad. So why is that? What's the big driver?
Well, I think we, this is going to sound horrible. I think we had hope a couple of months ago. but no, when you look at the reactions, we were talking about this going away, the curve coming down. We had opening plans in place, and now it's just kind of shaken up. Every place is different. Every state is different, and it just makes it really wobbly.
So it's the impending lockdown. And what role does do you think politics in the upcoming political season? Upcoming hell, the omnipresent political season. What do you think that's playing? Is that mention anything about that?
Sure, 2020 is a heck of a year, man. We've got a pandemic, we've got social unrest, and we've got a presidential election.
So was that mentioned in the survey?
What's that?
Was that mentioned, politics as being a reason?
Yep, we had that. Why do we think things will get better? We asked if, for those who thought it was going to get better, and there's 18% of them who did, 24% of them said it's going to be because of political leadership. Now you read into that what you want.
read that any way you want.
Yeah, exactly. But let me get to these other headlines about social media, because there's a lot here to unpack. One of the things, a big headline, is most social media is seen as a necessary evil. 60% said, yeah, it's a necessary evil.
There you go. Evil.
Nah. See, here's the problem, though. If you read into the comments, though, they actually took issue with the word evil, the way we phrased it, because that's how we presented it to them. They said, yeah, it's not an evil. It's just plain necessary.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So it's they're a little more positive of it than we might think.
Yeah, they are. And you talked a little bit about those negative news cycles. And how they affect the big brands. Mm-hmm. Well, they generally, it doesn't affect the local guys. They're concerned, but they're not altering their social media plans at all. Mm-hmm.
And so the big brands have been withdrawing from Facebook, and now one by one, they're kind of coming back. What influence did that have? What percent of local advertisers said they followed that suit?
Right. Yeah. It influenced 1%.
1% said they followed suit.
Yeah, 1% said they try and follow what the big brands do, but most of them don't. They might pay attention to it. And what we found is if you have a little bit more marketing savvy, you would probably answer the question a little bit more about, I'll pay attention to what they do, but I'm not going to just follow suit. I've got my own things to do.
Fascinating. Yeah. Different. You know, one of the keys I think there, Corey, is that the big brands do branding. And branding is a very sensitive type of thing. And I think the local businesses really aren't doing a whole lot of branding. It's more practical. Okay, our brand is not particularly associated with something, and we're not going to make a political statement with it. we're just trying to sell something. We're trying to move more cars. We're trying to get more people in the restaurant. So they might be a bit more practical about things, not feeling like their brand is linked to negative content.
Yeah. And that, and the other thing that has happened too, especially when you start to see that things like TikTok is starting to gain a toehold. Now it's only 5% have said they've been using TikTok. Cause I know you're a big fan of TikTok. Aren't
oh
you,
God, 5% now are using TikTok. That signals the end of the world to me. That's just, just
you didn't have any clues before this.
We're, you know, at first it's long form something, and then it's down to shorter form something. Yep. And then it's down to Twitter, which is basically a headline. And now videos are going to be a maximum of 10 seconds. You know, is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's like short attention span theater.
Theater. It's exactly right. But
so do you think that's going to grow? Is it TikTok?
I do.
Really?
I think, I don't know if it'll be TikTok, but it'll be short form video. I think you know, look at the medium, not necessarily the medium. It could be TikTok, could be something else. But short form video as a different way to get a message out. You were talking about messages before. And I got to tell you, I think local advertisers, when we look at these surveys, there's something happening. There's a dawn happening on them. They're learning it themselves, and they're learning the value of telling their story. They had to when COVID shut everything down. They had to figure out a way to communicate with their customers and to let them know what's going on. It became very, very important. Well, fast forward 5 months, 4 or 5 months, they discovered, wait, that's a great way to talk to people. This content marketing, for lack of a better term, is a great way to engage people. And I want to continue doing that after COVID goes away. But here's the catch, Gordon. They know they don't have the ability to create all of that content, but they really, really want it. That's what I'm picking up from these surveys.
Yeah, the content is just so vitally important. Even in an ad, a standard ad, what you say and how you say it is important. It's not cluttered. It's not rushed. It's very clear. But what we're talking about with content marketing is more doing what they've said all along they want, and that is somebody to tell their story. You know, hey, I'm a LASIK surgeon. I've got a new procedure I've just been certified in. Or, hey, I'm a dentist, and we have new, you know, chemicals or something for whitening teeth that last longer, whatever. You know, those types of, I'm a real estate agent, and this is what you should be doing. You know, this is how you can sell your home faster and during, you know, these particular times. Those stories all relate to are what we used to call native advertising, of course, and now it's what, content marketing?
Sure.
This and video plays a big portion of that, as I saw in the survey, people who were increasing their activity, weren't they?
Yeah,
there's a lot more video.
Well, they told us 40% had been posting more consistently on social media, and up to 24% of local businesses have been posting live videos.
Yeah.
So they like this.
Here's my take. My take is a big, broad one, and that is the deer have the guns. The advertisers now have their own medium at their disposal to go to consumers, and they're getting more artful at becoming media moguls, telling the story. Twitter has taught them how to write headlines. You know, iPhone has taught them how to edit, you know, shoot and edit videos, and they're just becoming more and more sophisticated. Yet they still need help because, for God's sakes, they're plumbers, they're florists, they're HVAC installers, you know, and they're not really good at communications and marketing. So I think there's a big role that agencies and media companies can play here. Speaking of content marketing, Corey, I want to get to this interview with Joe Lawrence. Joe is a fascinating guy. Like I said, has done some really interesting things in Pittsburgh that I'm eager to get to that interview, and it's coming up right after this.
iPublish Media Solutions is the leader in self-service advertising, offering solutions for obituaries, real estate, legal notices, and other advertising categories. iPublish works with hundreds of media companies, helping them to acquire new advertisers and generating millions in ad revenue every year. From real estate agents to SMBs to private party advertisers, iPublish can help you sell highly profitable campaigns to large, mid-size, and even the smallest advertisers. Visit iPublishMedia.com for details.
Want audience reach that can rival local TV but maintain the targeting and addressability of a premium digital partner? Vevo is the world's largest all-premium music video provider, starring the world's biggest celebrities. Vevo provides advertisers access to 149 million Americans a month. with 61 million of those viewers exclusively on connected TV screens, all in a brand safe environment. Contact us at Vivo and bring local spot buying to music television, whether it's at DMA, state, or zip code level targeting. Just visit Vivo.com. That's VEVO.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I've got with me Joe Lawrence. Joe has some roles with Trib Total Media in Pittsburgh and the Tribune Review newspapers in that area. And he's got a new role as CEO of a company called MeSearch Media Technologies. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Gordon. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Let's start out, Joe, with telling everybody what you do, what your role is, and you wear a couple of different hats as well. And then I really wanted to jump into what you're doing with Everybody Shops.
Sure. Yeah, I have probably too many hats that I wear. My focus for the purposes of this interview is I'm CEO of a company called MeSearch Media Technologies, and that's sort of a technology platform company for publishers. My other roles. I serve as general counsel for Trib Total Media, which is a traditional publisher of dailies, weeklies, and website news. And I am vice president of development and investments for 535 Media, which is a digital affiliate of Trib Total Media.
So tell us a little bit about the history of Everybody Shops. Everybody Shops is the e-commerce piece, and I am just so fascinated about not only the setup of it, the ownership structure, which I think really allows for innovation more so than if, say, the newspaper owned majority interest, the company that owns the newspaper. Let's just start out with Everybody Shops. Tell us a little bit about the history of it and the overall goal.
Sure. It's a timely question because we are this moment in the middle of a transfer of Everybody Shops from ownership by 535 Media to MeSearch Media Technologies. And that process is happening over the week. So it's an interesting time for us.
Now, 535 Media is basically the agency. This is probably oversimplification. There's the Tribune Review, which is the newspapers in Pittsburgh, and there's Trib Total Media, and there's 535. 535 is basically the digital agency for Tribune Review, right?
That's the simplest way to put it. Yes, it handles digital marketing, both internal and external. It's an advertising agency. Plus, it has a significant development presence. So for internal projects and outside clients, which is the part that I handle, which is programming projects, design, development, things of that nature, and it holds all of the investments associated with the whole structure.
Great. So I'm interrupting you. So talk about Everybody Shops and the goal.
Sure. Everybody Shops is essentially an e-commerce platform. The goal was to provide alternative opportunities for revenue to the publisher, in this case Trib Total Media, to traditional advertising revenue that would allow it to participate in upside on the sale of products, and then to create a marketplace for its advertising customers and other retail establishments in neighborhoods of coverage to come on and use the platform for selling their own goods and services.
And you guys have been around for 4 years, roughly four, something like that?
Sort of. The idea started about 4 years ago in a very simplistic form, and then moved into the development of our own internal platform about 3 years ago. And that platform just recently, last month, matured into a marketplace platform where other businesses could sell items. Prior to that, we were selling our own sourced items that were handpicked by our features writers in gardening, outdoors, and food. And we were identifying those products that we thought would be good for consumers and promoting them in combination with content about gardening, outdoors, and food.
And this is a really key component. One of the things that fascinates me most is this content piece and how it makes you competitive with, well, that other really, really big e-commerce platform that starts with the letter A. So content's sure. A really, really important piece of it that we don't see on Amazon, right?
Right. You know, we weren't trying to compete with Amazon. You know, we're not trying to make the a new digital technology platform that somehow sells products cheaper than Amazon. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to do what we do best and to try and connect this concept of content and community with appropriate products. So we're trying to provide people with the best information we can, whether it's through features writers or it's user-generated content, sharing information in communities of interest or geographic communities about products. So giving folks a place where they can learn and shop at the same time.
Yeah. And coming out of COVID-19, as we had discussed in an earlier call, this, you know, we see this as being really, really important to people. This is a great time for you guys to strike. And that is, people have been telling us when they come out of this crisis, they want to support local businesses even more. So they've kind of gotten the message, right? But let's talk about this. You've been around for a while. Out of everybody in Pittsburgh, 2.8 million people in the TV market area. What's your awareness at this point? Is it huge? Is it really tiny? What is it?
No, I'd say at this moment it's tiny. We previously have done no promotion of Everybody Shops when it was simply connecting with the communities of interest. So maybe there's about a 2% market penetration for those particular geographies of interest or those communities of interest related to gardening, outdoors, and food. We've connected with those folks in a pretty limited area, probably in a $1.5 million. It's kind of tighter than the whole television market. And so we started there, and we were always waiting, which is where we are right now, to launch on a grander scale.
And what's the plan to increase that? You said launch on a grander scale. What are you going to do to get to the point where everybody goes, oh, yeah, Everybody Shops. Yeah, I use that all the time, or I'm aware of that, and I use it a couple of times a year. How do you get to that point? What's the plan?
Well, that's something we're extremely excited about and literally just launched 2 weeks ago. And that's the incorporation of Everybody Shops into the Neighborhood News Network platform, which is a series of hyper-local news sites. In the Pittsburgh area, we have 31 news sites that launched a few weeks ago that are all very specific to individualized neighborhoods. And that is powered by an AI technology that MeSearch provides. But the two systems are now combined so that products that are in Everybody Shops now appear in the news feed, if you will. If you're in a neighborhood and looking at the information about that neighborhood, you'll see products appear that are relevant to the consumer using the AI technology and some pretty great platform technology.
Yeah, I've seen that in the triblive.com site. It's sort of integrated through the site. So this is being moved to other markets now. It's not just in Pittsburgh. What's the plan around that? What's the strategy, and who makes a good partner?
So the best partners so far have been the opportunity with other publishers because of the strong connection to content. So we've got three partners we're working with right now to set up more expanded beta tests in the state of New York, state of Minnesota, and state of Georgia. And those tests products are just being put together as you and I are speaking now.
And finally, I really wanted to talk about the structure. One of the things that fascinated me about this is that the newspaper, the company that owns the newspaper, is not the majority owner of this business. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we realized early on, and that's where 535 Media came from, that we needed to have a different ownership structure with a different board to do things that were different than the traditional publications that we were running. So 535 Media has a separate board with some outside board members in the technology sector, and it holds our investments. And one of those investments is 535 Media partnered with another technology company, Crivella Media Technologies, a fellow by the name of Art Crivella, who held a bunch of patents in the stuff that makes the data science really work. And so Art owns 52% of MeSearch Media Technologies, and 535 owns 48% of it. And we thought that was super important to, if we're going to be a technology company, we had to actually launch a technology company, not a publisher that wanted to be a technology company.
Brilliant. That is a brilliant point. If I had a pen, I'd underscore that right now. So we got 30 seconds left. What's the ultimate goal? Everybody Shops is a dominant shopping platform in a dozen or so markets. Amazon gets so pissed off they offer $1 billion for you when you buy it. Or what is it? And when do you see your ultimate goal occurring?
Well, when you put $1 billion on the table, it's a trick question, right? So I'd have a hard time turning down lots of money. But no, the goal is to expand it in way more than a dozen, to expand it in every market in the country so that neighborhoods can get the information that they need and to give local businesses the opportunity to have e-commerce platforms without having any expertise in technology or e-commerce. So our goal is just to provide a digital ecosystem that blankets the nation and doesn't interfere with anybody's existing business plan, just adds to the available opportunity for businesses, advertisers, shoppers, basically everybody.
Excellent. Well, good luck to you. I think, it just sounds like you really have the formula, and this is something that could really take off. Joe, thanks for being on the show, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
You know what I like most about that interview, Gordon, and what he said is this mind-blowing fact that maybe if you have a tech company, maybe you should put a tech guy in charge.
That was the quote, and I indeed reacted to it. If we're going to be a tech company, we had to actually launch a tech company, not a publishing company. We want to be a tech company. It goes back to what Joe Walsh, the CEO of Thrive, said on stage in our conference back in March. And that is, you know, when the board changed from people who understood and, you know, were vested in the yellow pages to tech people, he said, that's what changed Thrive, my company. And that if I went in and said something to them about how we're going to sustain the yellow pages business and what we're doing to protect it, I'd be laughed out of the room. So essentially in Pittsburgh, they've kind of done the same thing. They have 52% majority ownership by tech people, right? A tech guy.
Right.
And that drives it more than, we need to sell more newspapers.
And it's going to be interesting to watch the development over the next year and a half of content marketing, of how advertising or messaging or marketing is weaved into content. Sometimes it's very easy to see. It's an ad. And sometimes it's less. And it's going to be interesting to watch it happen on the Main Street level, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of room for growth and opportunity there. And I think we're beginning to see a bigger tip of the iceberg on content marketing, in that, you know, as Adolf Ox says, all advertising is news. If it's not news, it's worthless. So right. Advertising is beginning to eke into the vernacular as, you know, news. So anyway, I wanted to thank you, Corey, for helping me out on this podcast and being the co-host, but also plug our next interview. It's a really interesting one with Anna Badger. She's the new CEO of the Outdoor Advertising Association, your favorite organization, Corey.
One of them. I have many.
And she's going to talk about how she's going to say something really interesting about outdoor advertising being, get this, the largest broadcast medium. That's coming up in our next podcast. Thanks, Corey, for joining me, and thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Gordon.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by iPublish Media and Vivo. If you have submissions you'd like Corey and Gordon to discuss, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, email the hosts at podcasts@BorrellAssociates.com and let them know. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.